The adult beverages are poured, the kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming, a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives. My name is Trevor, and I have a 2.5-year-old and a 7-month-old.
And I'm Jeff, I have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old.
So, older gaming dad, Jeff, I need to be shepherd. I have a question for you, if you would.
Okay, I'm the wise man, I'll dish it out.
Yeah, well, that's particularly, it might be situational, so you might have nothing.
I might have zero.
You'll at least have an opinion. I don't know, did your kids, when they were coming up, did they so badly want to play with the older boys?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's common for sure.
It is so heart-wrenching, man. Because he goes up and he's super cheery and happy.
Yeah.
And he plods up to these older kids and it's kind of like, when am I going to play?
Yeah. I got a shiny yellow ball here we could play with.
And then just the reject, like, there's been literally just some hands, like, no.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
And that's like a dagger in my heart. It's like, oh, no. Oh, son's rejection. No.
Now, how old are we talking, though? Like, how many years above?
Well, anywhere from, like, 4. So he's coming up on 3. But anywhere from, like, a 4 to 5-year-old to even, like, a 6-year-old.
Okay, that's not too bad. Yeah.
I'll say that, so credit to parents. I don't know if it's always been like this, or this is just kind of like the new wave of parenting, but these kids are super cool about it. Like, even when they reject them, like, they're being kind of nice about it, and often they'll kind of just let them plod around, too. Like, he had this one, it would have been like a 7-year-old, and this kid is going up and down and up and down through pipes, just the whole playground work, right? And my kid would not leave him alone. He was just his shadow, and I'm watching him, like, the best part is I'm kind of telegraphing what's going to happen and what's my response going to be.
Right.
Specifically, okay, if this kid punches my kid,
yeah,
it's kind of my kid's fault. You know? Like, I can't really blame this kid for it, because, like, my kid's being really annoying.
Okay.
So I think it'd be more like, okay, that's enough, come this way.
Yeah.
So your kids went through it, like, is it just a phase? Like, what was your reaction when you'd see something like that?
Yeah, and again, it really just happens on the playground that I see, and it's, like, my oldest is super, super social. So when he was 3-4 years old, he would go up to, you know, 8-10-year-olds and be like, I want to play what you're playing. And they were playing this game in the playground. I never really played it, but it's called Grounders. And you kind of hide on the playground, and then, like, the first one kind of caught on the ground is the grounder, and he has to run around and catch all the other kids. Anyway, it doesn't work for a 4-year-old versus a 9-10-year-old. So I think they did, now that I remember, I think those kids were pretty chill about it. They allowed him to play a little bit. Now, granted, he was it, right? He just liked being an active participant, but he was it all the time. So they just, maybe they had fun just not being it and kind of being like playing on easy mode kind of thing. So, and it doesn't stop though, because I see him even at 7 going up to now close to teenager level and trying to talk on their level, like about random things. Even if it was Pokemon, when we were out playing Pokemon, he would go up right up to a 15-year-old and say, oh, I have all this and his attack is this. And you could just see the 15-year-old just kind of look at him like, oh, that's cool, buddy. Yeah, I'm going to go this way.
Because I don't know if you remember, but I can remember being the older kid. I did not like younger kids. It's just it's like piss off, little man. Like, I don't.
Yeah,
like,
this is my time.
Yeah, it's like I'm trying to ride my bike. Like, knock off. I don't want to be, I'm not babysitting you.
Yeah. No, it's, and even on our street, now that you brought it up, on our street, the older kids are very inclusive of the younger kids. And when everybody kind of goes out, it's anywhere from a 3-year-old all the way up to a 9-year-old, and they all play together. Hmm. So, yes. I don't know, they find a way.
Yeah, so hey, gaming dads, good work out there.
Yeah.
you're all raising great kids, apparently.
Now, what you could have said is that you're at your playground watching your son being taken care of an older person, and you could just be like, you know what? He's yours now. Just, I need to drink my coffee.
Okay, older kid, you are babysitting now. Thanks a lot.
You've been chosen. He likes you.
Congratulations. I'll give you a lollipop.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to add some whiskey to this coffee and drift away.
Or catch a nap.
And that's the fatherhood tip of the week. If it's in a coffee cup, no one asks questions. One other person I turn to for dad advice, and he's kind of a new dad on the market. He's kind of just recently came out as a dad, but it seems like he's got some great policies and some really core strengths. Some people have called him godlike.
Ooh, okay.
And this is Kratos, god yes. of war. He apparently is an excellent father.
He's what we all want to strive to be.
In buying that game, it's not really purchasing a game. You're really just buying an instruction manual.
Yeah, it's research, you know?
Yeah, this is our generation's how-to guide for fatherhood. This video game.
Even just to live up to that dad bod, I don't know.
Oof. Look, let's take it easy. Come on. Don't get us in too much trouble. Yeah. So clearly we both ended up purchasing this. Jeff, I kind of saw you weaken real time on chat just before you purchased it, which went from, I don't know if I should, maybe I should, you know, I have that 20% off discount. Okay, so I kind of bought it.
Yeah.
What was going through your head as you had decided to purchase this game? Because this was, you and I had talked about this on the show.
Yep.
It looked really great. Yes. But as you know, we'll probably wait a little bit for it. And yeah. Come the day, neither of us resisted. And we've resisted some good titles recently.
I know. I was very proud of myself until, yeah, this game launched.
So walk me through the night. What happened where you had to get this dad instructional game?
Well, you gave a good play-by-play, but I will say it started early in the day. I woke up, I knew it was launch day, and then it's everywhere. Like, everybody's talking about it. They had downloaded it at midnight. Twitter's full of it. Facebook's full of it. YouTube's got all these videos going. And I said to myself, I'm like, no, I'm going to wait. You know, it's pretty expensive here in Canada, $79.99. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to wait. You know, a couple months, this thing will probably drop $30 if I can get it, right? So that kind of went through my head. I came home, and I was talking to my friends about it, and they're like, yeah, no, I totally have it. I'm like, yeah, oh, do you? So I'm like, okay, I can't talk to you for a while. And then I talked to you online, and you'd be like, no, I'm probably not going to buy it. And then it went to, like, I'm 90% sure I'm going to buy it tonight. And I had that coupon code burning a hole in my pocket. I'm like, well, really, it's not full price if I use this. And if I waited a couple months, it'd probably be 20% off anyway. So
nice.
I convinced myself I did it. I'm so glad I did it, though. It's just an amazing game, and it's one of the ones that I'll relate to Uncharted, where I need to finish the story before anybody else ruins it, because there's a lot out there, and I don't want to see any of it, so I want to be able to go back on the internet.
Yeah, it's been kind of surprising. You want to be able to talk to friends, talk to family, and surf the internet.
That's right.
You are borderline losing your job because you're unable to surf the internet at the moment. Right. Now we'll get into some of the specifics, but to give you my story, like, I watched the video of the game director after launch, and he'd started to see the reviews come in.
Yes.
And the reviews for it have been glowing, which didn't sway me necessarily, but like 10 out of 10s, like, people are just praising it, and deservedly. But this, the game director, it's a kind of casual video, just him reading online all the reviews that are coming in, and you just see emotions wave over him, and he takes off his glasses, he starts to tear up. Like, it just hit him so hard to have all of his hard work being recognized and praised and people enjoying this thing so much that he was overcome with emotions. And there's just something about, so here's this game that looked great, storyline near and dear to our hearts, of course, but more than that, here's this human being behind the game, and seeing that, it's kind of like, so this is art. So this is, there's something to this. Like, this is an emotional expression in some ways.
Yep.
So, that kind of sealed the deal. It's like, that I want to get on this. For all the normal gaming, this looks incredible and fun. It's dad-related, so there'll be good content there. But just, and this guy seems the artist. Like, that makes me really want to see where this goes.
Yeah, I saw that video too, and it's like he poured his heart and soul in it for 5 years, I think it was, development time. So to see him realize that was pretty a good moment. It was a good moment.
So what's been your reaction playing it then? Yeah. Playing Dad Simulator 2018.
Dad Simulator, yeah. I will say, like, if you've ever played any of the previous God of Wars, this is really not the same. The previous games were very linear, right? You play through the story, you snap skulls and pull out eyeballs, and you're done. Like, you're this God of War going around killing everybody. This one's done differently with kind of, like, again, no spoilers or anything, but it's kind of like a hub concept. Like, you go to different realms and kind of come back to a central location. So, and as far as I've seen a few hours into it, there's even side quests, which is neat as this God of War game where I'm not used to that. That's Witcher 3 for me, where it's got side quests and icons popping up. But it's been an awesome experience. And I'm not even going to go into the graphics necessarily, because they'll blow everybody's socks off. But the graphics in with the music and the story and having this kid along with you and experiencing what they're experiencing kind of hits home in a lot of ways as being a dad. And now that you have like this unbridled rage at certain points where, you know, you fear that you've lost your kid or, you know, he's been taken from you or something, you can just go in and snap skulls and get to him. It's like a dad rage moment. Not obviously in real life, but in a God of War, Kratos kind of way. So it's been neat.
There's this one line that he says, it's super early and I don't think it's spoilery. But he's kind of just lamenting, and he states, and look, I think this line's fairly obvious because it's a kid and it's a dad, and they obviously have to go on a journey together.
Yep.
Right. So and he says, "I don't think he's ready, and neither am I." Right. So, which is for me, that was like earth shattering. Okay, that's being a bit hyperbolic, but that was incredibly powerful, right? Because here's the God of War, who in all these other games has just been this unstoppable, rage-filled phenom, and like with this vulnerable moment saying I'm not ready. That is nuts. Like, what really struck me as an analogy is, if you've ever seen like the last Rocky movie, Rocky, what's great about that is like it was very much about this powerful underdog, can't be beaten boxer coming to terms with age and everything else, but getting out that last battle.
Right.
So where all the other ones was really just great, like silly action boxing beats, like it was fantastic stuff, right? Like enjoyable. The last one was very much that emotional turn where it's like, it's this end of life boxer. He's like, what is somebody if he can't be in the ring anymore? What all the emotion that he's processing, the life he's left behind, and that last fight, the last hurrah, the last use of all of his fighting.
Yeah.
Right. That was such a cool turn, like drawing emotion out of what has kind of been, and forgive the term, but like an emotionless story up to then. That's not doing the movies justice. But you know what I'm kind of
getting at. I know what you're getting to, right? Because it's same with the games. Like we haven't seen emotion in Kratos besides anger. For them to tap on the mini like he gives those dad moments without being a cheesy dad. Do you know what I mean? In still like an angry way, but he's concerned for his kid and he doesn't know if he can get him through this, which is interesting. Like that's a huge character flaw, like presented to you immediately. So I'm surprised at the connection that is built between you and I think his son is Atreus. Like right away, I think in Last of Us, it took me a while to kind of get used to Ellie running around. And right away, I'm just, no, Atreus is my kid. I got to get him up to the top of this mountain, and we're going to do this.
You're my dude, Atreus. You're my boy, Atreus.
We're going to do this. Give me my axe, boy.
or as the kid shall be referred to, boy.
Boy, yeah.
Yeah, for anyone who has not played the game yet, it's just this, anytime he refers to the kid, he generally just tells him, boy, get my axe.
In a very deep voice, I will recommend headphones for this playing.
Your bass will be rattling. As far as being a companion or a entourage with the kid, I've found it to be really great. Like as I mentioned in the last episode, entourage missions are just the worst.
Oh, usually, God, yes.
Because you're so desperate to keep this other stupid thing alive.
Yep.
how they've implemented with the kid is awesome. Like, I'm very easy to say that. Like, it is a really, he's there, he matters.
Yep.
But you're not, all of your energy is literally just on the bosses and the battles and the monsters. You are not having to take care of him.
No, and it's really just, you have to interact with him too, right? Like, you have to press a button for him to fire the arrows. So it's like, you have to think that what he's doing as well, like, oh, I can distract this boss. Let me have my son fire a couple arrows.
That's so genius, because it just ends up being, what's so smart about that is that it's not necessarily all AI, though he's got some.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like you just have an extra attack, right? So you're just pressing your,
yeah,
you know, your
yeah.
own arrow thing, except it's just coming from him.
Yeah, it's, but that's secondary, just,
it,
yeah.
Yeah, but it just creates this great back and forth between the two. That was my biggest worry with the title, honestly, that it was going to be just keep kid alive the entire
forever. You just see his health bar tick away. You're like, no, man. No.
And the God of War stuff was so much fun, right? Here you are, this god. You're flinging your swords around. You're having a phenomenal time, and now it's going to be, oh great, I got to keep this kid alive.
Yeah.
But no, he's right in there. Small touches too, where all of the in-game lore information about the beasts and everything, like yeah. it's written from by the him. Perspective of the kid.
Yeah, that's neat to see.
It feels great, and it's we've mentioned before that there's kind of this coming around of games involving kids, involving those type of relationships, and to see that kind of leak into one of the biggest titles that has ever existed on PlayStation, yeah. how awesome. I would like to think that we, in some ways, inspired this.
We game. Inspired this, that's right, exactly.
If not the podcast, at least as dads, ultimately.
I'm with you on that one. I think it's a game that's definitely for all gaming dads to at least experience on the PlayStation 4. And my experience so far has been phenomenal. And it's really deep for a God of War game too, which I wouldn't have said about the other previous iterations. It was very like mm-hmm. one button press, quick time event. And this is not that, which is very interesting to see.
No, well said. Now, Kratos is a good dad. But he's not the only dad, and in fact there's other dads out there doing fatherhood so well, and these folks receive Gaming Dad Victory of the Week. So this week we have Gaming Dad James. So James posted an incredible photo capturing a moment that I think all gaming dads hope to be able to walk in on one day. Jeff, why don't you walk us through the photo?
Well, what we have is a brother and sister sitting quietly on the floor in a room playing the original Super Nintendo, and we have Donkey Kong on screen out of all games, which is an extremely difficult one that I remember playing as a kid, but they look happy. They look like they're a part of a team. It doesn't look like they're pulling each other's hair or anything. It's kind of a peaceful scene, which is amazing to see.
Yeah, and bonding over an original Super Nintendo game. Like, he did it. James has done
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes.
He's achieved the dream. So the two kids are Bryson and Charisma. So they also play a bit of Super Mario World as well. I'll commend them for taking on Donkey Kong as well. I have never beaten that game.
It's so difficult. I remember you don't start with very many lives. And to go through those levels, I've had a little bit of trouble. So... yeah, kudos to them.
Man, kudos to them. Kudos to James for getting them in on the ground floor too of the classics, the originals. The best part too is as far as a gaming training goes, like if he can get them up to speed on Donkey Kong,
yeah,
they're going to be fine. Their whole gaming life. Yeah, so James has a gaming room. They've set things up. The kids have a number of classic titles like that to pick up and play. He was able to sneak in to the house after work and be able to kind of come upon this scene, which, you know, again, as I mentioned at the top, I think that's, as a gaming dad, the thought that you can kind of come upon your kids enjoying the games that you yourself enjoyed your own gaming youth, it's the gaming dad dream.
Yeah, that's the ultimate. And again, they're there engaged, and they're together, and they're working together. So something that I hope one day for my kids, so...
So I don't know which game really caused the most ire for yourself and your siblings or friends. Myself, it was always Madden.
Oh, Madden, so, really? That's it. Okay, I wouldn't have said that.
Oh, that one caused so many terrible fights because the mechanics are such garbage, honestly. those games are fun. Right. They're a blast. I think people should go back and play them. But whether or not your guy caught the football or it was blocked and intercepted,
yeah,
it was nonsense. And my brother knows what he's talking about. He knows the play I'm talking about.
I will say mine was Blades of Steel on the Nintendo. If you remember that game, you had an arrow at the back of your goalie that would tell you where the puck was going, and you couldn't stop your goalie. Like, so you would just be like goals all over the place, and we'd be at each other's throats on that one.
I'm telling you, it's just a sports title, so.
Stay away from that. Go Donkey Kong. We're good.
And keep up the good work. But for passing on the hobby to the next generation and doing it in a classic style, James has earned the Gaming Dad Victory of the Week. If you would like to be nominated for Gaming Dad Victory of the Week or know somebody else deserving, please reach out to us on our website at newdadgaming.com.
And new dads, listen up as we go over this week's highlights of what happened in the world of gaming. The Netherlands has ruled loot boxes illegal. Well, to clarify, loot boxes are anything that contains items that could be sold for real world value in the real world. The Netherlands Gaming Authority has given a warning to 4 unnamed games that have a total of 8 weeks to fix their loot box system or risk some fines. Rumor has it is those mystery games could be PUBG, Rocket League, surprisingly, Dota 2, and FIFA 18. The Gaming Authority has likened any loot boxes that contains any item of real value is like that of a slot machine and should be regulated as such. I'm not sure this is one battle that is going to lead to the win of the war, but stay tuned and we'll have the latest as soon as it comes in. And a surprising move, Valve looks to be getting serious about games again. The company has snapped up the Firewatch developer, Campo Santo, where the small team of just 12 will relocate to Valve headquarters. Campo Santo did not take the decision lightly, stating that they had long conversations about the future as a company and their values, but in the end, they are human, and they couldn't deny the opportunity that Valve had presented. So kudos to them. We hope to see good things out of Valve and Campo Santo. And Bill Nye, an old Bill Nye, the science guy, was all over Nintendo commercials this week as he promoted the launch of Nintendo Labo. Labo or Labo, one of the two. If you don't remember, the Labo is a game that has pop-out cardboard cutouts, and you create new and interesting ways to interact with a Switch, including things like a BattleBot or even a functional piano. Results of the launch aren't in yet, but it has been reported that the schools in the UK, they have even approached Nintendo about bringing the Labo into the classroom. So leave it to Nintendo to keep pushing that creative envelope. And on the topic of education, how about sending your kid to Fortnite University? Well, Ashland University of Ohio is offering $4,000 scholarships to Fortnite esports competitors that meet skill and academic requirements. It's interesting to see the rise of esports within the educational world, but many universities offer esports programs, and Ashland will be the first one to jump on the Fortnite popularity and offer it as part of the growing roster of their esports curriculum. It's also a perfect excuse for dads to game with their kids and claim it's preparing them for post-secondary. And a little bit of gaming movie news, there's going to be another Doom movie. I'm not sure why. The 2005 version that starred The Rock was a commercial flop and featured probably a somewhat laughable plot and first-person action sequence. But another iteration is currently being developed. That said, the new version will not see a theatrical release, so look for something that might go straight to Netflix or some other digital platform. And another gaming movie? There's going to be a Division movie, which I'm not sure why either, but David Leitch, who has directed the action blockbuster John Wick and soon-to-be-released Deadpool 2, has signed on to do the Division movie, along with celebs Jake Gyllenhaal and Jessica Chastain. For those who aren't familiar with The Division, the story follows a tactical unit that is dispatched to Manhattan in New York to find out the details about a recent biological attack. We'll see what happens when the film, well, when and if the film comes out, but past history has told us that games to movies are pretty much a horrible idea. And for releases, you really just need to know that God of War released, Yakuza 6, and Labo also launched last week, with upcoming releases for the week of April 23rd, including Swords of Ditto, South Park for the Switch, Death Road to Canada moves on to consoles, and there's a bunch of PSVR titles, but the one to highlight is probably the MLB Home Run Derby VR, which sounds pretty exciting. That's it for the gaming news for this week. Catch a nap and tune in next time for another update.
So it happened. So loot boxes illegal in the Netherlands.
Yes. Surprising. Yeah. That went quick. That went really quick.
Call it like normalizing or balancing. You know, I think like Battlefront 2, as we've mentioned a few times, like they just went too far.
Yep.
And they pushed the envelope a little too far, got the ire of a bunch of gamers, which got some politicians notified, and off we go into it. So if anything, like it probably will just bring it down to reasonable levels, and we'll call this the developers just figuring out just how far they can push.
Right.
And this is the, okay, not that far. Little back. Little back.
Yeah. Find out what can kill them and then just take it a step back. All right. Got it.
But Campo Santo, I'd heard about that one. Man, loved Firewatch. To this day, the only game I have from start to finish played with my wife.
The only successful game. Yeah, yeah.
So for myself, that studio holds kind of a special place. I also listen to a podcast, Idle Thumbs,
yep,
which features a couple members who work with Campo Santo. So it's kind of, I don't want to call it bittersweet, because like, and one, I hope it's all good for them. I hope that represents like a really nice win.
Yeah.
They've done some great stuff and want to see them succeed. But do you think the studio will get lost in the homunculus that is Valve?
I think they will probably get swallowed up in something, whether it be a Team Fortress update or some other thing.
More like, hats.
I'm hoping Valve turns back to games at some point. They put out a few, but they kind of just keep building on the same ones over and over. So I'm hoping this team can kind of inject that creative narrative into their games again, and they don't get swallowed up. But a team of 12, I don't know.
Well, it's a heck of a team of 12.
Well, no, for sure, but I'm not sure how many people work at Valve. And
let's do some wild speculation.
Okay.
So Half-Life 3, what if...
Okay.
Given that story-based text adventure-style games are very much these guys' MO, like their style, especially from where they came from.
Yeah.
Some of these guys were involved in Walking Dead. Tales from... Is it Tales from the Walking Dead? Like there was another studio that did all of those text-based adventures. They did one for Back to the Future. They did Wolves Among Us.
Yeah, the Telltale games.
Telltale, yep. Thank you. Some of these guys are Telltale vets as well. So given that that's how some of them cut their teeth, what if Half-Life 3, they forego the action shooter and they just do full-on story version?
That is wild speculation. Wow. If that was ever like a tiny bit true, they would be stressed out so quickly. I don't know. Like, that is...
The gaming community's most notorious unreleased game. Hey, new studio, I need you to finish this.
This is something you pass down generation to generation. Like, one day, son, they'll release Half-Life 3, and I want you to look up, and I'll be looking down at you.
How would you gentlemen, and women, and all people, like to finish the unfinishable game? Welcome to Valve.
Oh.
Now, if you had not convinced your wife yet to pick up Labo for Christmas this year...
Yeah.
Well, sorry, the Switch, I should say.
I have to pick up the Switch. Yeah.
So, look, Bill Nye, childhood educator, science guy from our youth.
Education superstar, yep.
Is pitching this Nintendo product. Darling, we have to buy the Switch.
And then the $80 game that goes on top of it.
Think of the children, please.
That's right. That's right.
It is so weird and so cool. It is cardboard that you fold and you attach to your expensive gaming console to make it do weird and wonderful things.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't... And he was having a blast with it in this commercial. Like, it was like a 3-minute, 4-minute thing.
So. Any of the review videos you see, like, the people are just eating it up. Like, it's just so wonderfully bizarre.
Yeah, kudos to them. Like, good on Nintendo for, again, always pushing the envelope in cardboard.
Always pushing the cardboard envelope. Nice. We'll count that as a dad joke.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, and as dads, we obviously want our kids to further their education.
That's right.
The best clip from the news you just said was when I want to play this game with my kid,
Yep.
Not because it's a game, but because I need him to practice for his Fortnite scholarship.
Yeah. Well, you have all the, you know, the typical hockey dad that's out there yelling at his kid on the ice. Well, I could do the same thing just with Fortnite.
No, not the rocket launcher, you fool. Come on, kid.
Build a wall. What are you doing? Build a wall.
You don't want to go to Yale? What is this?
Yeah, that's right. We need that scholarship, son.
It's got to make sense, though. So, I mean, we'd mentioned previously that such big events as the Dota, for instance,
yeah,
and League of Legends, they both had massive esport tournaments that awarded, like, several million dollars. Like, this isn't small money, small fries anymore. No. Capcom Cup and the number of viewership it got on the last one they just ran, like, these are astronomical numbers now, and any way for universities to get names and numbers and cash and awards and prestige. Now that esports is coming into its own and is actually providing revenue to a bunch of companies, like, it is a profitable business now.
Oh, for sure. I think it's completely that. It's viable. It's a viable investment.
See, is it that, or is it more like the massive appeal of gaming and just ensuring that they're continuing to target kids to come to their schools? Is it a bit of a shift from solely sports-based items to, look, there's a lot of people playing video games, and one might surmise more people playing games, video games, than sports. So they want to capture that, or is it touching the money? Like, what do you think it'd be?
Well, I could see your point on that. At first, I would just say, you know, it's just companies getting involved. This is a big thing that, again, could be a very, very lucrative investment over the long term, as it's kind of just coming into it. But as maybe a money draw, because, you know, hey kids, we have all these sports programs. We do have a lot of video game programs, scholarships that you can apply for. Now, the way I would probably think that it was a cash grab, just because it's not much money right now. Like, if it was a full scholarship, like, hey, you've got your, you know, your entire 4-year term paid for on this Fortnite scholarship, I could see that's a huge investment. Right now it's $4,000 could maybe buy, you know, pens and pencils for a couple of years.
Yeah, half of the books you need for the first semester.
So it is something to get you in the door. So maybe it is that as like a marketing thing. Like, hey, we're young and hip and cool. Come to us. You can play video games and have your education or your diploma.
So. And get your learnings.
Yes, right.
I'd be curious to see maybe it's just like they're just dipping their toes in the water. You know, they want to drop like $1 million scholarships on
something
that might not pan out, but perhaps if some of these esport teams go on to win something and they get some money back, like, all right, like we can now up the numbers.
Well, yeah, and part of that story, I didn't read it out, but they did hire a former StarCraft coach. So, like, maybe they are, you know, going a little bit deeper in the water.
Look, so I'm telling you, so we are...
I'm excited for my kids.
We are responsible parents because we purchase Dad of War... Dadding simulator,
yep.
We have our kids play Fortnite so that they can get that sweet, sweet scholarship. You know, and we purchase Switch systems so we can have them fold cardboard and really expand their creativity. Just
I'm with you. I think
this gaming gaming, fatherhood, it all comes together. And that'll do it for us this week. Thank you so much for listening. This has been New Dad Gaming. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can find us at our website, newdadgaming.com, as well as on Twitter and Facebook. We'd love to hear from you around show ideas, questions, and anything else you can send. If you yourself or know somebody who would like to receive Gaming Dad Victory of the Week Award, please send that along to us. We'd appreciate a subscription, a review, and especially a pass along to any other father who games. Until next week, my name is Trevor, and I have a 2.5-year-old and a 7-month-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old.
All right. See you next week.
See ya.